Open your Bibles this evening to Proverbs chapter 18. Proverbs chapter 18. 18 verses, really 10 and 11, just two short little verses that are almost virtual twins in terms of language, but absolute contrasts in terms of what they speak about. Proverbs 18, 11, 10 and 11. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and is safe. A rich man's wealth is his strong city, and like a high wall in his own imagination. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you that you have given to us a priceless treasure. That, Father, all that a soul needs is found in your sent and risen Son. Father, may he really be the treasure of our hearts, and may he be the trust of our souls. May he be the strong tower to which we run. Oh, Father, help us to avoid a confidence in vain securities. And Lord, let our hope and our confidence be in him who is a strong tower. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you again for your kindness to instruct us. In Jesus' name, amen. You remember the story, most of you children, of the three little pigs. And I don't know if I could even tell that story right now. I know that there was a little piggy that made a house of straw, and a little piggy that made a house of wood, and finally the best piggy made his house of brick. And then when the wolf came, it was just the piggy's house that had brick that stood. Well, I'm with apologies to whoever wrote the story of the three little pigs. I just have a story of just two little pigs. Kind of two little pigs in anticipation of Proverbs 18, 10 and 11. There were two little pigs. One little piggy made his house on Wall Street. And that little piggy did it by shrewd investment, wise financial planning, talking to Jeremy Chaffin from time to time, talking to Chuck. And as he continued to build up a financial reservoir, he continued to build and build and build. And his little nest egg became very large, and his little house on Wall Street. Well, and then there was another little piggy. And that little piggy built on what I would call Hope Street. That little piggy built kind of a modest little house, but it was a house that was built in prayer and confidence and trust, dependency in God himself. And that little house was not quite as big as a house on Wall Street, but it was a comfortable and safe house for that little piggy. Well, one day, as things would have it, a financial global meltdown took place. Bailouts that were hoping to achieve their aim through bankrupt governments did not. And all of a sudden, in the midst of the global meltdown, the little house on Wall Street was absolutely devastated. And then, of course, you would think and hope that maybe the little house on Hope Street would be reserved and protected from those things, but no. The little house on Hope Street itself also fell when all of the economy melted down. Well, what happened to the little piggies? Well, one little piggy, the little piggy on Wall Street, absolutely fell apart, went to pieces. In fact, I hear that the little piggy committed suicide. But there was another little piggy on Hope Street. He had nothing else. All of his visible outward means of support also were destroyed. But that little piggy went wee, wee, wee all the way to the church, happy as he could be. Well, maybe you never heard that story before. But you've got it in more sophisticated and inspired language in Proverbs 18, 10 through 11. There was a little piggy on Hope Street, and there's a little piggy on Wall Street. And the whole picture is the matter of true versus false security. The language in both of these, in both of these verses is very close, very similar. You will notice in verse 10 that the Lord is a strong tower. You will notice that the rich man's wealth is a strong city. That word appears both. And also there is another word here that also appears, but not quite translated as clearly to us. But we're told that the righteous runs into it and is safe. He's lifted high. It is the word high. That same word we find translated very clearly in the second verse, verse 11. It's like a high wall, the rich man's wealth. What a timely lesson and what a wonderful time to come to it. I understand from my readings that in the last several months there's been a worldwide equity loss of about $30 trillion. And just last week, at least the U.S. economy, the U.S. equity of shareholders lost about $2 trillion. Now, I don't know how many zeros that is, but I have no comprehension of how much money that is, but that is absolutely massive. I mean, there has been the decline of financial markets, the collapse of banks, and failures in big-name institutions have been filling the headlines. So it is a wonderful time that we can come here and examine where is to be our trust, especially in these times. It's always timely, the Word of God. And so I want us to look, first of all, in where true security is. You remember when you got to the story of the three pigs, you had to wait for the best house last. But we're going to give you the best house first. That's the way the inspired writer does it. True security is found in the unseen Lord. True security is found in the unseen Lord. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. What a precious metaphor that the inspired writer uses for us. What a mighty metaphor of shelter and security. It's the metaphor that's used by David in another place in Psalm 61:3, where he says, "For you have been a refuge for me, a tower of strength against the enemy." A physical fortress, a stronghold is what the Lord is, the name of the Lord. It's a high place is what it was, a place where one running to it can be very secure. But this strong tower is not made of earthly materials. It's not of stone and marble or steel, titanium, or whatever else man can make. It's not a shelter of human making. It has nothing of man's hands in it. And it's not even a tower that can be seen. People who have a confidence in this tower basically are those who hold on and are hidden in something that the eyes of man do not behold. But it is a real tower. It is a real fortress. It is a real place of refuge nonetheless. It is the name of the Lord. How many want to trust in the name AIG right now? Or Merrill Lynch? Or any other enterprises that basically had big names. How many want to trust in the name of GM anymore? I understand China is willing to buy a failing U.S. automaker. I mean, where is the name? What is the name that can be trusted in? Where is the place of refuge? And we are told it is the name of the Lord. Here is a big name that will not fail. Here is a name to trust in. And what is the name of the Lord? The name of the Lord is everything that the Lord is. We might ask, what's in a name? Well, where the Lord is concerned, everything that you need. It is a massive name to run to. It is the character of the Lord, basically. It's the person of the Lord. That is the refuge of the Christian. There is strength and there is safety in the very character and person of God Himself. I mean, it's a glorious name. It's the name Lord. It's the name by which He commits Himself to His people. It's the name by which He says, I'm going to care for you. I'm going to preserve you and I'm going to bring you to glory. It is that really wonderful name by which He commits Himself and all that He is to the concerns of His people, where He meets every exigency, every need that we have. Do we have indigency? Do we have lack? Is there any of you that is all full and needs nothing? Well, He is Yahweh Yireh, the Lord who provides. That is a name to go hide in when you feel your own insufficiency, your own lack. He is a strong tower for our supply, for everything that we need in our own lack. Do you feel at times that you're isolated, abandoned, alone? Then He has another name. It's Yahweh Shema. The Lord is there. He will not leave us nor forsake us. He is a strong tower for our access. He is a strong tower for fellowship and companionship and care. Do we find ourselves in a field or situation or society of unrest and strife and conflict? Then He is Yahweh Shalom. The Lord is peace. Do we feel our mind just filled with anxieties? Do we feel those bombarding our souls? Then here He is. We can go hide in the name of the Lord our peace. He is a strong tower for our rest. Do we feel slandered and reviled by men? Do we feel even slandered and reviled by our own conscience from time to time? Then He is Yahweh Tsidkenu. The Lord is our righteousness. That when I find myself unsettled, find myself assailed either by the archfiend of my soul, whether by the accusations of men, or whether by my own conscience, then I can run to my Lord who is full of righteousness, a tower of righteousness in which I am covered by the grace of God in Christ. Do I feel defiled? Do I feel at sometimes diseased by my own sins and infected? Then He is Yahweh Rapha. He is the Lord my healer. He will provide for me. Do I feel embattled? Do I feel weak? Do I feel weary? Then He is Yahweh Nisi. The Lord is my banner. He is the one who lifts me up and goes before me. He is the one who goes behind me. He is the one who indeed is that shelter even as I move about. He does not stay placed in one place, but He goes with me wherever I need Him. He is a strong tower. In every instance, He is a suitable and superior refuge. The foundation of this tower is His eternal being. A God who does not change. A God whom all the changes of time does not affect, but a God who is over change itself. The pillars, the posts, the girders of this strong tower are His wisdom, His truth, His mercy, His faithfulness, His loving kindness. Towers that we are told in the Psalms that go clear up to the skies, as high as my need may be, so is He in all that He is for every single believer. What He is perfectly. What He is flawlessly. What He is permanently. What He is passionately and personally for His people. I mean, there is no other name. There is no other name like the name of God our Lord. And if you want to personalize it, then put all of those wonderful attributes into the one who manifested Him in His whole entire being in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Because there you will see what a tower and strength He is. There you will see Him as an inviting tower. There you will see Him as a gracious tower. There you will see Him as compassionate and as sympathetic. There you will see Him as mighty and gracious. There are no flaws, there's no cracks in this tower. There are no places where the support will ever be flimsy. There are no place where He will give way under the weight of your needs. Well, whatever He is plentifully. He has no short supply. He is eternal in His being. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. You can trust in Him. That's the point. You can trust in Him. And notice the right response to that. I mean, what do you do with a name like that? Well, the scripture tells us that the righteous runs to that tower. You remember, I think in the story, the little piggies ran, didn't they? When the houses began to collapse and everything began to fall apart, the little piggies ran. They ran from the false security. They ran from the vain confidences. They ran to the building that was secure. And this is what the righteous do. Not in the last place, not as a last resort. This is the first place. This is where the eye of the righteous always is. The first resort is the Lord Himself, the name of the Lord, the character of God, His person, His nearness in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the way we live. We live by running. We live by running to that tower day after day, moment after moment. That is the way the righteous lives. And that's really the whole idea here that running gives. It's another metaphor. I mean, if He sets up the Lord as the metaphor of a tower, then He sets up another metaphor for us. And it's the metaphor of running. Not that the Lord is far away. Not that we have to beat feet a long distance, because He's as far as the reach of faith. He will be in the very movement of faith. You will enter into that tower. That isn't the point. It's not the distance. It's basically, as it were, other factors. This idea of running denotes something that is earnest and eager. I am glad to go there. You're as glad to get into that tower as the Marines that landed on Omaha and Utah beaches and that D-Day invasion were glad to get into some other bunker to find themselves protected. They ran with purpose. They went to the place of safety. We know that's where we go. We go with diligence and earnestness and focus. We're directed. That's the way the righteous lives. He lives with his eye on that tower. He lives with his confidence that there is his strength, there is his supply, there is his help, there is his righteousness, there is his hope. That is the very character. You see, it's the characteristic and active response of the righteous. Running is an activity. Running denotes movement. Running, a movement, not just simply of feet. That's not the idea here, but the whole movement of the soul, the mind, the heart, just to move into that tower and rest upon that tower. And it's interesting, the wording here speaks of it's a characteristic response. They said, we're always running. We're always running. We're always going to this refuge. We're always making a beaten path to this tower. The Lord is our constant refuge. We're always beating feet to this blessed retreat that God is. We don't go around the tower. We don't just look at the tower, talk about the tower, theologize about the tower. We live in the tower. We run to the tower. God is our ever-present refuge and strength, and we are always running to Him. And so, if you might just wonder, well, then just boil it down for me. What does it mean to run? It's an active reliance all the time on the Lord Himself. It's trusting Him in every situation, leaning my whole soul on Him. As I said, the movement of faith brings me instantly there. The door is open. The Lord will not move away, but He will be present to the movement of faith. He will be that tower in which we ourselves can hide. Haven't you done that? Isn't that part of what it means to be a Christian? I think that's really what it is. I think indeed that we come to Christ as a living stone, but we're always coming to Christ. Someone asked, I mean, that's the very character of 1 Peter, isn't it? That a believer is one who is coming to Christ. When did you come to Christ? Well, I can tell you, I came to Christ in 1978 in January. But I've been coming ever since. I come every day. I come every moment in need. And if I was wiser, I would come more often. Because I'm always needy. But we're always coming to Christ. We're always running to that strong tower because He stands in reach of our faith and He is ready to be availed of and to cover us with His glory. Amen. Notice what it says, and if it isn't even enough, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it, but just in case you wonder, He's safe. That's the sure relief. This is what the righteous will enjoy. Safety and deliverance. And as I said, literally the term is, He will be set on high. He will be lifted up in the midst of all of His struggles and difficulties. I've told you before that wonderful, that illustration that always impresses me, that photograph that, and maybe some of you have seen it when you kind of go to those photograph bookstores, and that it's that one of that lighthouse that just is sitting there, and then it has that wave that just, all you see is the lighthouse, and you just see a wave around it, just this massive wave. It's almost as high as the lighthouse, and it's just breaking around this lighthouse, and it's just standing right there in the middle, and I'm just thinking about that man in that lighthouse, as he would see that wave coming about just to rip everything apart, and just hearing the sound and feeling the rumble and vibration and seeing the waves coming over, and yet he's secure and firm in that little lighthouse. Well, that is something, but not wholly accurate at all. I can't even approach the safety of the saint in the Lord. It is a really, though it is a wonderful picture of stability. And you know, I kind of think of that. I think of that man in that lighthouse still shaking in his boots. But I don't think you can shake in the strong tower. That's why you run, so you won't shake. The world may cause you to shake, but the place of the tower is not the place to shake. That's the place where you'll be completely safe. The psalmist expresses the wisdom of Proverbs 18:10 in just different words, but it's the exact same idea. In Psalm 9:10, it says, "Those who know thy name," that's the righteous, "those who know thy name will put their trust in thee." That is what it means to run. Those who know thy name, that's the righteous, will put their trust in thee. That is running. For thou, O Lord, hast not forsaken those who seek thee. That is safety. That's the very character of the Lord. We're completely safe. We're safe from sin. We're safe from its dominion. We're safe from its damnation. We're completely, surely safe. This is the place where we can enter in and not have to fear and not have to doubt. Just run to Him. Run to Him in the activity of faith and you'll be safe. We're blessedly safe here. It's not a dark dungeon to hide in the Lord. It's not that at all. It's a beaming bunker, the Lord is. It's not a moat, but you're on the ramparts of mercy. This is the place to be. We're permanently safe. Who shall separate me? Who shall separate me from this tower to which I run? Can peril, can distress, can tribulation, can death, can principalities, can powers, can anything created ever separate me from that tower if I run into it? Nothing can. Nothing can. If you are a wise little piggy, you will build on Hope Street. You will run to the Lord. You will run and make that your first and only response, because that's the first and only response you'll ever need to make. You'll never have to worry about a government bailout, in fact. You'll never have to worry, like the citizens of Katrina in New Orleans, that the dikes will fail. You're never going to have to worry about, even as the floods go over your head, that you yourself will be utterly undone. No, not buried by faith in God Himself. No way. But notice, we come in the last place to the little piggy that built on Wall Street. That's verse 11. Contrasted to the righteous is the rich man. He has a different confidence, doesn't he? Look at what his confidence is, his security. It's his wealth. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. You know, I don't necessarily say that wealth is not somewhat of a security blanket. Nor would I necessarily say it's maybe not a pillow at times that you can rest on. Nor would I simply say that the rich man does not enjoy some protection from his wealth that others less wealthy do not enjoy. But whether it's a pillow or whether it's a blanket, it certainly isn't a strong city. But that is what it's declared here to be. That the strong man, as he looks at his wealth, he sees not just simply a tower or a pillow or a blanket. Basically what he sees is a whole city. This is where I'm going to reside. This is where I'm going to dwell. This is where all my safety is. I'm in a strong city. This is my residence. He trusts, according to Psalm 49:6, he trusts in his wealth. Indeed, according to Psalm 49:6, he boasts in his wealth. Wealth has an inflating influence, doesn't it? And a man can get an inflated idea of himself as his wealth increases. Psalm 49 says he congratulates himself. Look at me. I'm wealthy. In fact, Psalm 49 says other people congratulate you, especially when you do well for yourself. People oftentimes measure people by their income or by their portfolio or by the possessions they have. And men themselves begin to think that they have a certain value on the basis of what they possess. But notice how the wisdom writer frames the second half of the verse. Not only is it a strong city, it's a high wall. That's why I said Wall Street. It's a high wall. I mean, if you wanted to be protected, then you'd build a wall. And if you really wanted to be protected, you'd build a high wall. And basically, that's what he sees. The wealthy man sees it as wealth, all of his accumulation of wealth. It continues to build him up. And the more that he gets, the more secure that he is, putting brick upon brick upon brick and establishing security for himself. Maximum protection. Nothing can disturb me. Nothing can come over this wall and break apart my peace and security. I'm in my gated community of money. Secure. Like the man in Luke 12. You remember? Who had so much wealth that it never became a security problem. It was a storage problem. I've got so much, what do I do with it? But in terms of security, he was very confident, very cocky, Very self-assured. He said, so you've got many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. No problems, no cares. Because my wall is built. My wall is stored and safe and kept for me. His inner thought, says the psalmist, is that his house is forever. So he thinks. Notice what the wisdom writer says here. He says something that he doesn't say about verse 10. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runs into it and safe. He says that is a reality that you can bank your soul on. But notice here. The rich man's wealth is a strong city and a high wall. And what are the last four words? In his own imagination. In his own imagination. In other words, so he thinks. So he thinks. The word's only used in two other places in the Old Testament. And it's used of the figurines and carved images of vanity. He's got his little image. He's got his little idol. He trusts in it. He looks to it, but it carries no weight. It can offer no help. And all it is a burden. It is just simply vanity. It's all his imagination. It's illusory. His strong city sits on sand. His high wall is built of paper mache. Wealth is a deceptive commodity. It's easy to trust in, isn't it? It gives us a sense. It gives us a sense of security. It gives us a sense of stability. It gives us a sense of status and significance. It gives us a sense maybe of satisfaction. And maybe even, though we would never dare say it, of salvation. I have need of nothing. I'm fat and full. I have need of nothing. How hard it is, Jesus says, for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because his wealth creates an awful false security about where he is. And yet it provides none of those things. It is noteworthy, I think, that one of the greatest burdens of the wealthy is how to hold on to it. It is interesting that one of the greatest fears of the wealthy is losing it. And one of the great anxieties of the wealthy is managing it. I mean, this is really indeed, this is what our idols do to us. They distract us. They fill us with fears. And they burden us down. False confidences always do that. And wealth is one of those things. Like all false securities, it is basically more of a burden, establishing greater fears and distracting and causing our souls to be anxious. It provides no real security. The reality is that one day we will either be separated from it or it from us. When the rich man dies, says the psalmist in 49, his glory does not descend with him. It doesn't follow you. You leave it behind. That is all different from the man who trusts in the Lord, because when he leaves the world behind, he lives forever in the tower to which he has always been running during his life. It is a blessing to hide in the tower that is the Lord, because you'll never be departed from him. When you die, you will carry nothing away of this world, but you will go into everything for which this world is worthless. It's no substance either, is it? It really doesn't give social status. It really doesn't indicate any kind of character that someone has much money. A man may measure his value by his valuables, but that's folly. Money doesn't make a man. Most often it corrupts him. Jesus said, even when a man has an abundance, he doesn't have life. And so again, the falsehood of wealth and the false security it breeds is exposed here in our text. It brings no satisfaction. There are two things that are never satisfied: hell and the eyes of man. The rich are never satisfied. There's no salvation. Psalm 49 tells us that in wealth, no man by any means can redeem his brother or give God a ransom to him. We can't buy our souls in favor with God by silver or gold. We need something far more precious. We need the blood of the Lamb of God. Amen. Derek Kidner just says, as he sums this up, he says, the world thinks that the unseen is the unreal, doesn't it? But it is not the man of God, but the man of property who must draw on his imagination to feel secure. We don't have to draw on our imagination. We have a God who has revealed himself in the scriptures. We trust ourselves in a reality. It is the risen and unseen, yet very real God. Paul tells Timothy, I think, in very wise instruction, instruct those who are rich in this world not to be conceited or to fix their hope on the uncertainty of riches. Little piggy, don't hide in Wall Street, but on God. To fix your hope on God who richly supplies us with all things to enjoy. There's security. God Himself. The counsel of James, I think, is wise as we look at this. Let the brother of humble circumstances glory in his high position. His high position. His high position is this, that you are redeemed, adopted, accepted in God. You are a son of God. You have an inheritance in heaven. And no matter what you possess on earth or however you are esteemed of earth, realize how you are esteemed by heaven and what you possess that is eternal and cannot be taken away. Let the brother of a low circumstance remember his high position in his high tower. And let the rich man, let him glory as well. Glory in what? Not his wealth, but his humiliation. That he himself is just but a passing piece of flesh. And if he would be secure himself, then let him rejoice, let him humble himself, and rejoice in the salvation that is in God. Capital One says, what's in your wallet? And it really doesn't matter, does it? It really doesn't matter what's in your wallet. It's what has your heart. What has your trust? Where are you running to? Dear saints, when you feel the forces of flesh or the pressure of the world rallying against you, run. Run. Just keep running. When you feel that you're fainting under the weight of your own sinfulness, your own sin and guilt, then run. Run to Christ. When you feel the defilement of your own failures, then run to Yahweh Tsidkenu, the Lord Jesus Christ. When anxious cares threaten to flood your soul, then run to the strong tower and you'll be guarded by the peace of God which surpasses all understanding. When you feel too weak, too weary to continue even in the common task with a right heart, then run in all your weakness to the tower of strength. Yahweh Nisi, and He will lift up your head. Dear beloved, I just pray that God would just encourage us to know in these times of just absolute insecurity and instability where absolute security and stability can be found. In the God in whom it's always been found and will always be found until the end of the age. The God who will not be uprooted by anything. The God who is rooted and has established all things and will bring all things to His proper end. Let us pray. Oh, our Father in heaven, we thank You for the plainness and for the simplicity of Your truth. We thank You, Lord God, that in the midst of whatever bombard our minds and have our attention, that, Lord, that which is clear and that which is certain, that which is most helpful and eternal, eternally good for our souls, is found in Your perfect Word. Thank You for the wisdom. Thank You for Your wisdom. Thank You for Your wisdom from the Scriptures. And thank You, Lord God, that You are not up in heaven that we must go up there, nor down into hell that we must descend. But Lord, You are near is the Word. Christ preached, Christ offered. There is our strong tower. Thank You for our Savior, our refuge, our rock, and our Redeemer. In Jesus' name, amen.